It's Friday, August the 9th. I'm Angela Denning. It's the Midday Magazine. The U.S. Forest Service is proposing its first significant change to the 2016 planning document that guides logging, road building, and other uses of the Tongass National Forest. This change would relax logging restrictions on some parts of the forest that are supported by intricate and sometimes fragile limestone formations. Jovic Nicky reports.
This land with soft and soluble rock underneath is called karst. As the region's abundant rainfall flows through this limestone, it dissolves the rock, forming fissures, caves, and sinkholes. Karst land is scattered throughout the region, but the highest concentrations can be found on Prince of Wales Island. The federal agency rates this land on its vulnerability to logging, road building, and other development. Kathy Tai is the Forest Service's Planning and GIS Staff Officer for the Tongass.
So it can have anywhere from just some surface-type features that are well protected by deeper soils all the way up to, like, caves. So there's a whole range of different types of karst, which is why the forest assigns a vulnerability level.
This change to the 2016 forest plan addresses parts of the forest that fall in the middle of that scale, specifically areas with no sinkholes or caves. The agency proposes removing limits for the size of second growth logging that could happen on those lands. Those limits are 10 acres and 35% of a forest stand that was originally cut. Another part of the change would allow clear-cutting instead of selective harvest for these parts of the forest. Tai says there are a couple of reasons for the changes.
Well, currently we have a difference in the way we're managing old-growth harvest and young-growth harvest on moderate vulnerability karst, so that's one reason. And then it's better aligning with the recommendations from the Tongass Advisory Committee for this transition to young growth, which was one of the main reasons for the 2016 forest plan amendment that we did. So this is better aligning the goals for that transition.
That advisory committee was made up of stakeholders on the forest and met in 2014 and 2015 to come up with recommendations on a young growth transition. The mandate for a quicker transition away from logging old growth came from the Secretary of Agriculture during the Obama administration. Steve Lewis of Tenneke is on the board of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, a regional environmental group. He's a former director of the Tongass Cave Project, a research effort centered around the region's underground features. He thinks the change is a little poorly thought out and doesn't think anybody really knows if these areas have been impacted by past logging.
In general, they seem to be more covered with some glacial till or something like that that makes it relatively immune to the damage on the surface, we think, but we really don't know because you can't tell what's down there under the surface. And so unless we had baseline data on what was coming out of the different springs and streams, we don't really have any way to tell that we haven't already damaged it.
Lewis thinks the agency should err on the side of caution before removing restrictions and allowing more clear-cutting on these lands. The Forest Service's Tai says these proposed changes do not approve any project activities for logging or road building on these lands.
What it's going to do is allow us to have better adaptive management and be able to use best available science for each project. We always send a geologist out to assess those karst lands before any activities are approved, and this is going to allow the geologist to better assess on the ground in order to have the best possible protection for these karst areas, for the natural processes. These lands are known to be highly productive.
The Forest Service is making the changes under what's called a categorical exclusion, a level of review with less analysis and public input than more stringent environmental reviews for other activities. A 30-day comment period in August is the only chance for public input. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
And August 26th is the comment deadline. There's a link to an interactive map of Tongass karst land and second growth timber areas posted along with this story on our website at kfsk.org. Southeast Alaska continues to suffer from a drought and experience warmer than normal temperatures, and the month of July broke some records. Here's more on that. Temperatures for most of Southeast were above normal for July. Sitka's July was the warmest on record, averaging 3.5 degrees above normal. Yakutat also broke their hottest July on record at 5.5 degrees above normal. Juneau nearly broke its record. It was 3.8 degrees above normal, making it the second warmest in July.
And a rest of the panhandle itself was generally above normal as well.
That's Brian Besnick, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau.
We're looking at from a couple of degrees to as much as 5 degrees.
For many places around the region, the low temperatures for the month were the highest on record. In other words, it didn't get as cold at night as usual. That was the case for Petersburg, where the average low was a warm 57 degrees.
So while your daytime highs may not have been that extreme, and above normal, your overnight lows were much warmer than expected.
As for rain, the whole region was below normal in July. Petersburg got 2.8 inches of rain, which is about half of what is normal.
Everybody got between about 45 and 80% of the precipitation that they expected. So entire southeast did not get enough precip really to reach the normal amounts.
So that means that the southeast drought continues. Actually, the drought status has increased for the northern panhandle to the level of moderate drought, and parts of southern southeast remain in extreme drought. Overall, Besnick says all of southeast is short on water.
The thing to remember with the droughts here is that, you know, it's going to take several seasons, wet seasons, to recover from this. Just having one or two good heavy rainfalls is really not going to alleviate the drought.
Unfortunately, the forecast doesn't look to be solving the problem anytime soon. The National Weather Service predicts temperatures to be above normal and precipitation below normal to normal for the next 3 months.
And that's looking like it might be the trend for the rest of the year.
Okay, not super good news.
No, not really.
The long-term effects of the drought are not known. Currently, some fishermen worry that the lack of water won't be good for salmon reaching their spawning grounds. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning. Summer is winding down, but cruise ship season is still on for port communities throughout Alaska. All in all, these ships will bring well over 1 million passengers to the state. The small southeast town of Wrangell, near Petersburg, is just getting a sliver of that. But as June Loeffler reports, local tour operators are saying that's not a bad thing.
Lee Kramer and his wife Deborah came all the way from Washington, D.C. for their Alaska cruise vacation. Today they arrived in Wrangell on the Azamar Quest, which holds fewer than 1,000 passengers.
Well, we knew that Wrangell's a very small town, so this is pretty much meeting our expectations. And oh, but my wife is helping the local economy.
I just bought the rocks from the Alaska Sisters, and I did this magnet.
Yes.
It's going to go in my fridge when I get home. And I met the artists. Yes, I love that.
They did more than shop on the street. They went on a tour to the Annan Bear Observatory. Wrangell markets itself for its off-island excursions rather than the town itself. But many tourists seem genuinely intrigued in the small town and those that live here. The Kramer's friend, Bob McNally from Florida, compared Wrangell to Ketchikan, where the ship had docked yesterday.
Ketchikan is way too commercial. This is much more quaint and what we really wanted to see in Alaska.
The three tourists were impressed that their tour guide, Drew Larrabee, lives in Wrangell year-round, working as the shop teacher. They even asked where the high school was so they could see where their guide works in the off-season.
Well, I think that what's going to happen is when people find out about this sleepy little city, things are going to change. And I'll tell you what, Drew, the shop teacher, is going to have a lot of opportunities to take people to see the Bears.
Cruise ship tourism is growing in Wrangell, but it is still one of the smallest ports in Southeast, along with Petersburg. Wrangell's season should wrap with 21,000 passengers total, which is nothing compared to Juneau's million or even the quarter of a million people who will visit the tiny village of Hoonah. But Hoonah is proof that the size of the community doesn't matter nearly as much as the will and the investment to welcome the industry, which Wrangell doesn't have. And it's not sorry. The city says attracting more cruise ships is not a priority. The city does spend money, bed tax money, marketing its tourist attractions. But that money's meant to target those independent travelers looking to spend the night in town, not more cruise ships. While the average cruise ship passenger spends $150 in town, all other travelers spend more than twice that when they visit. But still, local tour operators have asked the city to upgrade downtown to better suit cruise passengers. Jim Leslie runs Alaska Waters with his daughter. He gives tours and has two shops in town.
The infrastructure we need is just minimal.
On his wish list of improvements, he'd like to see more summer floats to dock tour boats. Also, a visitor center for cover from the rain. And also, this tall order.
Move the container companies out of downtown Wrangell and then develop a green belt along the waterfront here and make more opportunity for retail sales and that sort of thing.
He thinks the barge companies are taking up prime real estate. But he's also not asking for the dock to be expanded. He's just reimagining what downtown could look like. He says one ship a day is all the town needs, and certainly no mega ships. Sylvia Edifa agrees. She runs the tour company Alaska Vistas.
But do we need more? Do we need anything that's in the Skagway, Juneau, Ketchikan, Icy Straits? No, we don't.
She says that level of tourists would be pandemonium for the town.
I think the community of Wrangell has told us pretty much that that's not who they want to be. This is an older, more established community with year-round residents that certainly is friendly, but you don't want them hiding from tourists.
She says to understand what the town really wants and how much it wants to grow, it's good to know what it does not want. That said, there's more coming. The town is expecting to bring in about 500 more passengers next season. In Wrangell, I'm June Loeffler.
Governor Mike Dunleavy signed a bill yesterday that funds the capital budget and maintains funding for power cost equalization and university scholarships and other programs. The governor is still weighing whether to sign a different bill he received Wednesday that would provide a $1,600 permanent fund dividend this year. If the governor vetoes that amount, Alaskans could receive dividends later than normal this year. In a statement, Dunleavy said he isn't planning to call the legislature back into a third special session immediately. If he vetoes the PFD funding in the bill, the legislature would need to meet again to ensure PFDs get out this year. Dunleavy has until August 30th to sign the bill or veto all or parts of it. Historically, the State Department of Revenue needed to know the PFD amount by August 31st in order to issue dividends in the first week of October. If Dunleavy vetoes the PFD amount in the bill, he can't call the legislature back into a special session in time for dividends to go out on the normal schedule. That's because state law requires the governor to provide 30 days' notice for a special session. But the legislature could call itself into a special session at any time. State law allows dividends to be sent as late as December 31st. Dunleavy prefers a full dividend under the formula set in a 1982 state law, which would be roughly $3,000. But the House and Senate passed a smaller amount. They say they wanted to stay within a limit on spending from permanent fund earnings set in a law enacted last year. The bill that would fund the dividend also would reverse most of Dunleavy's line item vetoes. While the legislative leaders have said they expect there to be a PFD this year, that will depend on Dunleavy and the legislature agreeing on an amount. Dividends have been issued each of the past 37 years. House Speaker Bryce Edgman and Senate President Kathy Geisel have proposed a third special session focused on the sustainability of permanent fund earnings and dividends. Dunleavy sent a letter to the leaders thanking them for the proposal. He said he's, quote, weighing all options available to my administration to continue the dialogue and work with the legislature on these matters. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening to the Midday Magazine. Coming up on KFSK, I'll have the weather forecast, an updated community calendar, and events. We will have a lot of fisheries news coming up, the Fish Radio and the Fisheries Report. After that, it'll be Steve Berry hosting Street Beat for us this afternoon at about 1 o'clock. At 2:35, it's After School Notes with GOAT, the group of advisory teens. At 4 o'clock, NPR's All Things Considered. That'll be followed by KFSK News at 4:30. At 6 this evening, Alaska News Nightly. At 6:30, Milk Crate Sessions with Pete Brantuis. At 9, Beale Street Caravan, the gospel music of the McCrary Sisters. At 10 tonight, Radio Free Petersburg with Kyle Mush. And at midnight, it's the World Cafe.
Support for KFSK comes from Tamaco Inc., a marine and heavy construction company in southeast Alaska, working in the region for over 40 years and now offering propane sales with delivery and water access available. That's Tamaco Inc. at 400 Mitkoff Highway, 907-772-4585.
It is 63 degrees outside of the KFSK studios near downtown Petersburg, and we have mostly sunny skies in the forecast for Petersburg for today with highs around 70 degrees. Cloudy skies tonight, lows around 50. Tomorrow, scattered rain showers in the day, highs in the mid-60s. There's a chance of rain tomorrow night with lows around 50. For Sunday and Sunday night, chance of rain showers, highs in the mid-60s, lows around 50. Monday, there's a chance of rain showers with highs in the mid-60s, mostly cloudy for Monday night, and then Tuesday, highs in the day, mid-60s, lows around 50 at night. Partly cloudy Tuesday night with lows around 50, and then we get some sunny skies again on Wednesday of next week with highs in the mid-60s, then a chance of rain next Wednesday night and Thursday. The Marine Weather Forecast Summary shows a trough of low pressure moving south across southeast Alaska through Sunday. For Frederick Sound, today and tonight, east wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow and tomorrow night, light winds, seas at 2 feet or less. For Sumner Strait, today, east wind 10 knots becoming west this afternoon with seas at 2 feet or less. Tonight, east wind 10 knots in the evening becoming light, seas at 2 feet or less. For tomorrow, light winds, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow night, northeast wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. For Stevens Passage, today, north wind 10 knots becoming east in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet or less. Tonight, northeast wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. The same for tomorrow, and then tomorrow night, north wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. For southern Chatham Strait, today, north wind 10 knots early in the morning becoming light, seas at 2 feet or less. Tonight, north wind 10 knots in the evening becoming light, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, light winds, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow night, north wind 10 knots, seas at 2 feet or less. For Clarence Strait, today, southeast wind 10 knots becoming northwest in the morning, then becoming light in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet or less. Tonight, light winds, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, light winds becoming southeast 10 knots in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow night, southeast wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. Looking at outside waters, Cape Decision to Cape Edgecombe. Today, north wind 10 knots early in the morning becoming light with seas at 5 feet. Tonight, northwest wind 10 knots in the evening becoming light, seas at 4 feet. Tomorrow and tomorrow night, light winds with seas around 3 or 4 feet. That's it for the weather forecast. Community calendar events and announcements are coming up.
Support for KFSK comes from Waterways Veterinary Clinic, carrying a selection of dog and cat toys, pet beds, bowls, and behavioral aids. At Waterways Veterinary Clinic, serving Petersburg's pets Monday through Friday, 10 to 5:30, and Saturday, 11 to 2, at 772-3191 and on Facebook.
Let's start out with a muskeg message today to anyone traveling to Baranof Warm Springs over the next few weeks. Please let me know if you have space on board to help transport a large metal canoe to Baranof. My phone number is area code 360-808-0579. Again, that's 360-808-0579. This message from Dr. Fred Sharp. Happy birthday today, August the 9th, to Tor Benson, Tommy English, Katie Eddy, Joe Vicknicki, Kira Seal, Jared Olson, Anthony Hobby, Cynthia Matison, Jean Kawashima, and Ben Hind. Happy birthday to you all. Petersburg Indian Association is hosting a community cultural camp this week. It's happening yesterday through Sunday at Sandy Beach Park. It runs from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. For more information, call PIA at 772-3636. Also, PIA Transportation Program is holding a public meeting today at 4:30 p.m. in the conference room in the Hallingstad-Paradovich building. That's on 12th Street. The meeting will provide information on the long-range transportation plan. The public is welcome to attend. For more information, call PIA 772-3636. The Petersburg Ranger District is hosting an open house to celebrate the 75th birthday of Smokey the Bear. That is today from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Forest Service office downtown. There will be cake, games, prizes, and a chance to win, to wish happy birthday to Smokey the Bear. Also tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Moose Lodge, there will be fish tacos. They're serving fish tacos tonight at the Moose for members and their guests. The community is welcome to play bingo every Friday upstairs at the Sons of Norway Hall. Bingo begins at 7 p.m. and doors open at 6. The mobility assist chair is available to assist you upstairs if necessary. You must be 19 years of age to play. Mitkoff Island Alcoholics Anonymous schedule for today, Friday. There's a candlelight meeting at 7 p.m. in the Episcopal Church. For more information about AA, call 518-0061. Road closure announcement for Charles W. Street. Closed at 1st Street for replacement of an underground fuel tank at the middle school. Closed through the end of August. School faculty parking on Charles W. between 1st and 2nd Streets will be unavailable. However, guest and handicap parking in front of the school will remain available to the public. Petersburg School District will be offering a summer food service program. And the last day is today, actually. So it's wrapping up at 1 p.m. It's been going pretty much all summer long. Breakfast has been at the high school and lunch at the public library from noon to 1. Rally for Cancer Care Golf Tournament is being held this Saturday in Wrangell at the Muskeg Meadows Golf Course. It'll be this Saturday from 8:30 to 4. For more information, call the course at 874-GOLF, 874-4653. The City of Kuprinoff Council will be meeting on Saturday at 9 a.m. in the Kuprinoff Community Building. The monthly PIA board meeting will be held on Monday, August 12th, 6 p.m. in the conference room at the Hollingstad-Paradovich Building on 12th Street. The Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting that was scheduled for August 8th has been rescheduled for next Friday, August the 16th at 9 a.m. It will still be taking place in the Borough Assembly Chambers. KFSK will broadcast the meeting live. The Class in Memoriam Museum is hosting an artist's reception for Beth Floor's solo retrospective. That'll be Friday, August 16th from 5 to 7. The show will remain on display through August 30th. Mitkoff Middle School cross country practice starts on Tuesday, August the 12th, or August 20th. Tuesday, August 20th. Practices will be Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5:15 p.m. at the middle school. For more information, you can contact Coach Joe at 518-0379. There's a kayaking camping trip for girls in grades 7 through 10, Monday, August 19th through Thursday, August 22nd. The cost is free. If you'd like more information or to sign up, call Becky or Ashley, 772-3332. All food and supplies will be provided. This is a trip to explore Castle Islands and Duncan Canal, providing instruction on safe sea kayaking with Forest Service employees. The Tongass National Forest is seeking public input on a proposed amendment to the 2016 Tongass Land and Resource Management Plan to strengthen the transition from old to young growth timber harvest. The comment period runs through August 25th. For more information, contact Sue Jennings, area code 907-789-6238. Only those who submit comments during the comment period will be eligible to object to the proposed amendment. And finally, the deadline to register and qualify as a voter for the Petersburg municipal election is Friday, August 30th. Registration forms are available at the front desk in the municipal building on Nordic Drive, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. The election will be held on Tuesday, October the 1st. Stay with us. We have fisheries news coming up with Fish Radio and the Fisheries Report. And after that, Street Beat with Steve Berry.
Programming support comes from Lee's Clothing, celebrating 50 years in Petersburg and celebrating summer with great gear from the North Face, Patagonia, Mountain Hardware, Carhartt, Prana, Aventura, Toad & Company, Kool, Billabong, Roxy, and Volcom. At Lee's Clothing, open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30.